I've learned something about Scripture and the Word of God that people are always asking me, you know, but just how do you do what you do? And I want to say this up front, and not in an arrogant sense, by no means. I've been preaching 38 years. I've been in full-time ministry 36 years. Started my first meeting in 1978 as far as full-time. Preached my first sermon ever on the first week of January 1976. And in all those years, I've never had a financial deficit. Now, that's unheard of if you're a minister of the gospel. Never, ever had a, never. Why? I didn't believe for one. Some of y'all missed that right there. Because when I went in the ministry, people said, now, you better get rid of it. It's going to be tough. I thought, I just smiled. I just knew enough to be dangerous. I didn't know much, and I had one, I didn't really know much, but, and I had a lot of people say, you sure have a lot of faith. I don't think I have any more faith than anybody else. I really don't. But I might have a little more obedience. You might ought to write that down. Yeah, you might want to have a little more obedience. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. Church world has taught you how to sacrifice, but not how to obey. I find most ministers have learned how to do things by tribulation instead of revelation. I'll write that down. I heard that the other day. I said, I like that. Most people learn, and you can learn some things through tribulation. Don't misunderstand me. It'd be foolish not to. But it's better to learn through revelation. Reveal knowledge of what God says and what he can do and what you can do. And there's two things that I see in Scripture that I'm going to start today. And it's amazing how I heard Keith, and I thought, my God, I didn't get to hear Brother Copeland, but I know he's always on target. Blessing of God. I began to realize everything in the Bible ought to work. You should never try to do something. If you try to get married, don't. Because that ain't going to work. You don't try to get married, you get married. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have argument. I've had some people say, we've never had an argument. You're the biggest liar I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, you may have some arguments, but you work those things out. And I've learned there's two things that God wants us to do is learn to do well. Write that down. And number two, to learn of him. Learn to do well, because everything you do, you must do well. Because the only Jesus some people may ever see is the Jesus in you or the Jesus in me. And then learn of him. I'll give you a point. I'm going to preach this in just a few minutes. We know more of the Spirit of Christ than we should know more of the Spirit of Christ than the life of Christ. I'm going to deal with that in a few minutes. Church will teach you the life of Christ, what he did and how he done it. But they don't teach you the Spirit of Christ. Because there wouldn't be as much trouble. Like Brother Keith was saying, you know, most people have never really understood true unity. They understand uniformity. Well, see, uniformity. Yeah, now, we understand that. But, you know, the body of Christ understands uniformity. But unity, they don't. Because that's why they say, well, you know, I just can't worship over there because they believe different. But then you don't truly understand unity. I've been married to Kathy 44 years, and there's a lot of things she does that I don't believe at all. That's a fact. I ain't used to lie. That's the truth. But I'm in unity with her. Those parts, I'm in uniformity. See, don't shout me down when I'm preaching. You do the same thing if you just told the truth. And I realized that the Lord said, learn of me, which means personal. Jesus not only taught us by his words, but he taught us by his actions. You got to find out why Jesus did what he did. Most of the time we read Scripture, but we never look into the words of the Scripture in terms of his action. And sometimes, like we say, actions speak louder than words. And in Isaiah chapter 1, I want to read just one statement here, and then we're going to go over to Matthew 11. But Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, I want to deal with this one word. Learn to do well. Learn to do well. That's spiritually, physically, financially. Not only are we representative of Christ, we are trustees of Jesus Christ. Trustees. And it's amazing to me how many people cannot see the love of God and yet go to church all their life. It's amazing to me how many people are in church, love the Lord, and the world still not yet won. We should have all, we should be more than what, 2.2 billion Christians? By now, man, we're really behind schedule. In terms, Jesus comes, like, you know, I want Jesus. I pray this every day in my devotion. Come, Lord Jesus. And sometimes I get a little aggravated because he didn't come. And I'm going to be honest with you. I say, Lord, come on. He said, yes, if I came, now a lot of people go to hell. I said, they're going to hell anyway, so just come on. I was wrong. He said, no, you can change him if you learn to do well. You can change him if you learn of me. I want to deal with that. And he says that, to learn to do well. Write this down if you take your notes. Learning to do well teaches the art of life. See, when you do things well, people remember you about that. If you're a person that do well in the financial world, you remember that. Who's that very wealthy man that he's from Nebraska? What's his name? Yeah. Warren Buffett. I think he bought his first stock when he was 11. He said, just think. I heard him say that. Just think how much further I'd be if I'd have started earlier. Now, you know, I relate to that because my first job was when I was 11 years old. I guess his first job was to buy stock when he's 11. And now you can't hardly work a kid like that today. You got child labor laws and things of that nature. But my dad got me a job. I'm talking 8-hour day job. I'm talking 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 11:30 at night. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And on Saturday from 7 in the morning to 7 at night. Still had to go to school, working at a grocery store. And he said, your grades are not going down. You understand? And then he said, I'm no longer, and you've heard me say this before, I'm no longer you buying you clothes, shoes, nothing. And you're going to start paying rent. I've been paying rent. I said, in my own house. It ain't your house, just this is my house. That's what he said. So he charged me $10 a week or $40 a month, and on a 5-week month, $50 a month at 11 years old. So, and you know, I never worried about when I married Kathy because she was a lot cheaper than daddy. She was a lot cheaper, Lord Jesus, man. Well, that'd be rough. Now, he's in heaven, so I can say that now. He's in heaven now. You know? And so he taught me, he said, and this is, he was an oil guy. He worked in the oil business, a roughneck, if you know what a roughneck is. And he was in the oil industry, just, you know, following those rigs. And he said, and this is a statement, they say, be a good hand. He said, boy, I don't want nobody ever come up and tell me you ain't working. You understand me? He said, because, man, we're going to have some trouble. I'm going to take your money, and I'm going to beat you, too. So I learned to be a good worker. I learned to do well. Little did I realize that that was scriptural. That when you pray for people to be healed, you want them to do well, not just get by. It teaches you the art of life. The reason why we know so much about this Warren Buffett guy is because he works hard. He works hard. He does his job. That's what he does. And does it well. I found that everything Jesus did, he done well. Even his dying. I want to have, if Jesus tarries, I'm going to have a good death. I want to have a good death. I want to be able to say, I fought a good fight. I finished this course and I kept the faith. Amen. Lord, and into your hands I commit my spirit. I want to commit my spirit instead of my spirit just leaving without my permission. Then I realized that it can't leave without my permission. In fact, God told me something one time that shocked me. He said, Jesse, I'm God. I have the power to take your life, but not the authority. I don't have authority to take your life, but I have the power, but not the authority. He said, death and life's in the power of your tongue. That's right. So what do you say? He said, you heard that guy said, I took that guy home. He said, I didn't do that. He released himself to me. Now think about that for a minute. That really shocked me when the Lord spoke that to me. He said, there's a lot of people who have come here, shouldn't have. Because they did not finish their destiny or get to their destination. But because they released themselves, naturally I would receive them. And you hear a lot of people at funerals, they preach, I took them home. No, I didn't do it. He said, they came home. See, it's according to you. Well, how come I didn't get it? Well, it's according to your faith. So be it. Not God's, but his. So, learning to do well teaches the art of life. Man is defined as a being who learns. Animals have instinct. They have an instinct automatically. You know, if it's a cheetah or a cub, it'll get down and get real quiet. But you as a human being, God teaches you to learn. Now, I'm not talking about memorize. I memorized geometry and I don't know a thing about it. Because once I passed the test, I forgot it. because I never learned it. Never thinking that I would ever use geometry in my, what I'm going to use geometry for in my life. But boy, I've had needed that at times when I was building buildings. Why they did what they did, the engineering aspect of why that building had to be like that. See what I'm saying? And if I'd would listen in class, I could have understood it more. I would have understood the architectural designs better and why they did what they did to hold the weight and the different things. But you see, so everything has a purpose and a place in life. So learning to do well teaches the art of life. So I don't mean this in a prideful sense. I want to do well in everything I do. In fact, every day I said, Lord, how did I do? He said, you did good. Sometimes I say, how I'm doing? He said, you can do better. You know, at times I've lied, bald-faced, lied to God. You know, I get mad. I said, I lost my temper. He said, look like to me, you found it. He said, I wish you would lose it. I wish you would totally lose it, because then you wouldn't know where it's at. But you seem to find it quite often. Think about that. So everything I want to do in my ministry, in my partnership, when partners, it really, I tremble when I get big donations. Oh, I tremble. Why? Because I've asked the Lord for every dollar given to my ministry to give me a soul into the kingdom. So to me, that's work. To me, I must accomplish what that partner wants me to do. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You see, I learned that from Brother Hagin. I've said that for years. I just love that statement of his. And when you understand to do well, so that when you see something, especially if you've invested in something, so what I love about Kenneth Copeland Ministries, they do well. How do I know that? I'm on the board of directors. It does well. They do well with what you do in partnering to KCM. Why? Because it's a responsibility to do well. See, God said, learn. Jesus said, learn to do well. So everything I do must do well. I don't have to be the best, but I must do my best. You know, there are some people better than I am, and thank God that way I can learn from them. But I must always do my best in everything I do. I've had some people say, man, you preach to two people like you're preaching to 2,000. Why not? One soul is worth more than the whole world. If I have an opportunity, if somebody's willing to listen to me, the least I can do is give them my best. You see what I'm saying? So learning to do well teaches the art of life. So man is defined as a being who learns. I want to learn from God. Now, how do you learn from God? Not church time, throne time. Church time is school time, but throne time is you and God one-on-one. Now, you learn in school, don't misunderstand me, but if you really want to understand who he is, you got to have some throne time. You got to be able to go to that throne and say, hello, Jesus. Hi, Jesse. Let's talk today. He says, come, let us reason together. A lot of time I ask God, why did you do it that way? Why did you tell the disciples to feed the people? They don't need not to part. You feed them. Why did he say that? See, he was trying to teach them with an action. They need not depart. He said, man, it's late. The disciples said, it's late. You don't want to do this. Just send them home. He said, no, you feed them. Oh, Jesus, we can't feed these amount of people. Now, watch it. He said, well, what do you have? Well, we didn't talk the kid out of his two-piece fish dinner, so you might have a little something to eat. Now, you notice something. They gave him the two-piece fish dinner. Did you notice it did not multiply in Jesus' hands? It's not supposed to. All he did was pray over it, then he gave it back to the disciples. It multiplied in the disciples' hands when they broke those bread. No, it didn't multiply. They gave him a two-piece fish dinner. He gave him back a two-piece fish dinner. Then they start breaking it, and the bread and the fish, and all of a sudden it started multiplying. What he was saying was learn to do well with a two-piece fish dinner. Let me say that again. The miracle doesn't take place in God's hands. The miracle takes place in your hands. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why the devil can't do nothing. Can't do it. And I've said this many times. Satan's blind as a bat. Do you understand? He can't see nothing. He's the prince of darkness. He can't lust after a woman. He can't lust after a man. Why? He can't. Why? Because he's blind. He can't do that without using your eyes. He can't steal from nobody without using your hands. He can't kill someone without using you to do it. He can do nothing without you. So do not yield your members to him. And guess what? He's going to have a bad day. Do you understand that? Let me help you. God can't do nothing either. God is just dependent on you today as he was dependent upon his 12 disciples to go in the world and preach the gospel. Now, I'm going to say something that may sound strong. When a man or a woman walks behind a pulpit to preach, they are the voice of God.
Let me say that again. They are the voice of God. You may not like to hear what they're saying, but they're not saying it. They're just saying what God says. See, that's learning to do well. I never forget years ago, I went to a church that didn't believe in makeup. That's some ugly people, boy. That's the ugly people I saw in my life. Lord Jesus. There wasn't going to be no, I told them, I said, there ain't no lust in here. There's some ugly people in here, boy. I'm talking ugly. I'm gag-a-maggot ugly. I'm just make you just throw up. I didn't know anything about this particular denomination, but just everything was a sin except eating. That's the fattest people ever saw in my life. Women had fat feet. I mean, the fat come off the shoe, just laying on top of the shoe. I mean, it's fat. They believe in fat, boy. They said they make the bones fat. I said, yeah, but it's all the outer stuff over the bones that's really looking rough. And when I got up there, the Lord changed my sermon. He said, I want you to learn to do well. Now, I said, okay, Lord, I'll do anything you ask me to do. Boy, that's a dumb statement. Lord, it's a good statement, but I didn't know what I was saying. He said, I want you to preach, leave your personal convictions on the rooftop. And I got to look at these people, and I thought, oh, no, gee, we don't want to say that here. They're going to kill me. He said, you'll come to heaven. I said, God, they're not going to like this. He said, preach, leave your personal conviction on the rooftop. And I'm talking about where God brings down that sheet of animals and all that kind of tells Peter, rise, kill it. No, for I have never. You better never say never to God. Or you could be singing the 12th of never pretty soon. I can tell y'all, some of y'all don't even know that song at all. I guess I done got older than most of y'all. So watch this. I got up there and I just began to pray. I'm telling you, you could have heard. I'm the spit boy. They were just foaming at the mouth. I said, this is the ugliest people I've ever seen in a church in my life. I said, y'all don't believe in makeup? That's one thing you need to believe in. I said, if demons came out and look at y'all, they'd run like rabbits. Oh, I was young. I was real young. I was crazy in them days. I did not. And this guy jumps up right in the middle of my head. How was you baptized? I said, in water. Sit your ugly self down. What did they say over you? I don't know. I was underneath. Didn't make no difference. I was glad I just got baptized. And when I finished preaching, I didn't get an amen, a hallelujah, glory to God or nothing. But I learned to do well. Now, I had sweat running down the back of my legs. I knew these people did not like me. And I could see him looking at that pastor. Why'd you ask this fool to come? And the preacher got up and said, you know what this young man, I was real young in those days. He said, this young man is right. I thought, thank you, Jesus. He said, now I hope you enjoyed this because this is the last time you'll ever be here. He told me right in front of everybody. He said, because then I know they ain't going to let me have you back. He said, I might as well leave myself. It wasn't two weeks later that man left that pastor of that church. Why? Bondage. You see, when you're in bondage, you haven't learned to do well. When you're in bondage. You know, a lot of people talking about grace. You know, there's 17, a little over 17 definitions of grace in the Bible. Do you know that? Just because you got a definition of a Greek word, don't mean you got a revelation of what that means. Even the Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Grace. You know, you understand what I'm saying? And so many people, oh man, they just having flaming fits. They say, and I get real nervous when people cut on the law. I know we've been saved by grace and Jesus fulfilled the law, but he didn't throw it away. Let me just tell you something. That's the book of Deuteronomy. And of all, by all books of the Bible, Jesus quoted more from the book of Deuteronomy than he did anything else. And God said, don't add anything to it or take anything away. So to me, yes, if you're not saved, my God, the law is bondage to you. But if you're born again, it's not. See, I don't call the law bondage. I call it boundaries. It's called keeping you in the game. I've been saying that. I've had to say that several times. It keeps you in the game. You understand? It keeps you in the game. It's not. I mean, and when you get to heaven, they're going to be there. Because if he had them in that Ark of the Covenant down here, you know he's got them up there. And what's wrong with thou shalt not commit adultery? If you don't believe that, ask your wife. She'll give you a revelation on that real quick. You won't be in bondage because you're going to be a dead sucker. That's what's going to happen to you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, we're saved by grace. I believe that. Jesus fulfilled the law. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. But my God, it's great to have boundaries to keep you in the game, or you get out of bounds. You follow what I'm saying? Then you start using grace to give you power to sin better. Whoa. God didn't give you grace for that. You see what I'm saying? See, there's a fact of sin, and then there's when people do sin, but also there is a statement of sin. You got to understand the two different things. And when you learn to do well, you'll understand this. Knowledge, power, and skill are attained only through attention. Write that down. Knowledge, power, and skill are attained only through attention, through diligence, and through perseverance. If you're going to understand to learn to do well, then what I'm saying, I'm dealing with this part out of Isaiah. You got to have some attention. You got to have some diligence and some perseverance. Knowledge, power, and skill are attained only through attention, diligence, and perseverance. I want to know some things. I want to know how. I want to know why God did what he did. I want to know why he wants me to do that. And then there's been times, and I'm going to shock you when I say that. He says, why do you want to do it that way? Sometimes the Lord suggested, whatever you decide, I'll back it. Do you know I make 99% of all decisions that Jesse plans ministries? And I used to pray about everything, and the Lord said, what are you asking? But he said, Jesse, grow up. Grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Make a decision, boy, and I'll back it. Trust me inside of you. I said, well, I don't want to make the wrong one. He said, if you do, I'll let you know. You think I'm going to let you go off the deep end? No. But make a decision. Grow. Make me proud. So I made decisions, boy. Man, I'm talking multi-million dollar decision. And God said, I'll back it. Then one time I wanted to do something which was hardly nothing. He said, don't do that. I was going to go off this television station. I said, I've had it. I've been on this station for 5 solid years. I haven't got one letter, nothing. I'm finished with this part of the country. The Lord said, you didn't ask me? I said, I don't want to ask you. I know what you're going to tell me. He said, what's that? You're going to tell me to stay on. He said, that's right. So now, are you going to obey yourself or are you going to obey me? I said, I'm going to obey you. But do I have to like it? He said, no, you ain't got to like it, but you just have to obey it. I obeyed, and 4 days later, a man sent a donation to my ministry, paid for the whole 5 years that nobody ever said, and 3 years in advance. That's 8 years of that television station. The Lord said, I'm good. I said, you're real good, Jesus. I said, I'll let them all go to hell, but I said, thank God that you got mercy and grace. You see, I was doing something wrong, and I want you to listen to me. You should never credit your success about how much money you got, how many numbers in your church you got. That ain't got anything to do with success. It is in the Babylonian system of the world, but not in God's system of the blessing. You see what I'm saying? Most people think if you got a big church, that's success. They got a lot of great churches, big churches, that are dying and going to hell. Don't even preach anything. But they got numbers and they got money. If there ever been a Laodicean age, it is today. Listen to me. It is today. So you got to learn to do well. I am amazed at how many churches you go in today. You can't tell the difference between a church and a nightclub. If you cut the sound off, you wouldn't know the difference. It's so dark you can't walk in. I mean, they got to have somebody help you try to get in. Nothing wrong with dimming the lights. It's like, what you going to do when you get to heaven and you want to dim the lights? And the Lord said, ain't nothing dim here. I am light in whom there's no darkness, no shadow of turning. I know something about heaven because I've been there. You don't have to believe it. I've been there. And God don't even have a shadow. He is not in the darkness. God is light. When he saw darkness, he said, light be. Don't shout me down. Listen to me. Learning to do well. There's some places if you feel like running around the church, got the Holy Ghost, you kid yourself, you couldn't get past the first pew. Don't shout me. Boy, you can tell when it hits. Don't you? People go, ha, ha, oh. I'm not telling you to go home, throw away your lights. And all. What I'm saying is use some sense. Some Christian sense. Learn to do well. The other day I was in a church, it was so lit up, people took off running. I mean, the pastor took off running. I mean, everybody was running, man. I thought, this is great. It was a wonderful thing to see people run and not hit something. I saw more people dancing in the spirit, running, enjoying themselves in God than I've ever seen in the dark churches. Thank you for that Holy Ghost grunt. Knowledge, power, and skill are attained only through attention, diligence, and perseverance. See, we should seek for more inward vision, receptivity, and responsiveness. We should seek for that. More inward vision, not just outward vision. What's inside of you? Why do you do what you do? The only way you're going to know that is if you look inside yourself. Find out what you are going to do. You can see yourself. Understand yourself so you can be yourself. Let me say it again. We should seek for more inward vision, receptivity, and responsiveness. Everything I do, I want God to be pleased, but I also want to be pleased in it. Because I know if it's He's pleased, and the only way I'm going to please Him is by faith. It's by faith. There's a lot of things I'm believing for, and I have to believe them by faith. I had one man just jump me the other day. He said, yo, I guess you talk about being debt-free like as if it's an honor. I said, it is an honor. I said, actually, it's scriptural. The Bible said, oh, no man anything but to love Him. That's what it says, so I'm just being scriptural. Now, I'm not mad at you if you got a mortgage on your house. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm just saying, I'm talking about me. And it angered him. He said, well, you don't realize how much pressure you put on people. I ain't put no pressure on no people. I just want people to be debt-free. Why? Because Jesus said, be a lender. What's wrong with that? I mean, you got to do something, so at least be a lender. I mean, go for that. Do what you can. Like Brother Copeland said, go for the 100%. If you don't hit it, you hit 75. At least you're higher than you thought you would be. You follow what I'm saying? So I just, he said, it bothered him. You know, I could tell it bothered him. I said, why should it bother you? I'm not asking for you any money. I'm not asking you to do anything for me. I said, I'm just trying to get you to a level. Well, aren't you believing for another plane? Yeah, I'm believing for another plane. Big one, Lord Jesus. Falcon 7X. 52 million add the tax to it, 59 million book, brand new, out the glass hangar. A lot of money. Have you heard about any of my partner? No. Because you're not. It's just going to come to pass. See, it's another level. I decided that it will just come. It's another level. He said, well, how are you going to do that? I said, it's not my business to know how. It's just my business to believe. I lost a few of you right there. I can see that. See, I'm talking about responsive. I'm talking about looking inside yourself. See, I did a test on my faith. I graded myself, and I find I could go to a higher level if I just look within. I've always looked without for the vision, but I got to look within. What am I capable of doing in God? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Are you hearing me? Boy, y'all listening to this. This is good. This will take you to another level. This will take you where God, see, when Jesus is just walking around, and my God, if you're just with Him, you get blessed. I mean, there's fish in the sea just spitting gold at the man. He never asked his father for a need. He just told him what he wanted. He never came forth with a project. Nothing wrong with projects. I believe in projects. But you see, he was at a level like his father. It just came. How did it just come? When you're at that level, it will just come. See, the darkness on the earth didn't know God was coming. He just showed up and said, light be. That's what He does. Do you see that? It's just another level. But yet, you know, the temptation of, and the Lord's blessed us financially, and I'm not meaning that in an arrogant sense, but I have a bank and New Orleans just wants me to go buy the thing. This reverend, just go get the plane. We will lend you the money. Go get, nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me. Listen to me. Go get the plane. We know your finances. We have Jesse Plans Ministry money. We know your personal finances. You can afford it. But what they're going to do is put a mortgage on everything I got. No. They really don't want me to pay the plane because then they get the plane plus all the other stuff. Which I got about $60 million in assets of Jesse Plans Ministry. Maybe a little, few dollars more, whatever. Maybe a little more, maybe. See that? They want that. Now, you know how much of a hard that is when you got Johannesburg, South Africa calling you all the time, all over the world calling you, come do this, come do. And I have an intercontinental plane, don't misunderstand me. But this one is anywhere in the world, one stop. Nothing wrong with doing it. But I said, you know, I said, shut up, devil. And the guy thought I was talking to him. I said, no, I ain't talking to you. He was tempting me and not realizing it. But because of my inward vision, my receptivity, my responsiveness, I knew how to act and react to that. I said, thank you. You being so kind. We'll just pay cash. I said, what you want to do is make money on me. I said, there's nothing wrong with that, sir, because I want to make money on you. I want you to pay me. I serve a Jewish God. Pay me. Nothing wrong with that. That's not an anti-Semitic statement. That's just the anointing of God on the Jewish people. I like that. But because of my responsiveness to learn to do well, He just looked at me like I lost my mind. He said, "My God, maybe one day you may own this bank." I said, "That's a good idea." I don't mean that arrogantly. What I'm saying is, it's going to the levels that God wants you to go. But you can't do that till you learn to do well. Till you learn. And the only way you do that is practice. Practice makes perfect. I am a musician. I play. If you really want to do well, you got to practice. That's why I'm not a good golfer. I don't practice. I play golf once every 5 years. And I wish I wouldn't have did it then. Because I have to repent every time I got to go back to church. I sin on the golf course. I just do. The ball don't go where it is. I say words that I never would thought I would ever say come out of me. So I said, I got to quit this stuff. This ain't work. Or this relaxation. No, this will send me to hell. I know what's going to send me to hell. I ain't going out there no more. Now, I'll drive the golf cart, that cart, whatever you call it, golf, go-kart, golf cart, whatever you call it. I'll drive that thing. I never forget, I was with John Hagee one time, my God, in the Caribbean. He said, let's go play golf. I said, John, I'll drive the cart. He said, man, no. I said, no, I'll drive the cart. I'll drive you anyway, man. Boy, that's some big hills. I said, John, you go walk down there? Yeah. I said, John, you got to walk back up. You understand? You got to walk back up. That's a hole down there. I can't get down there with this cart. This is as far as I go. Well, I'm going to go hit that ball. I said, go ahead. He came back up and he said, let's go to the house. We're finished. I said, John, this is the first hole. He said, yeah, but I ain't walking no more of these holes. Now, the reason why I didn't go, because I knew what it was going to take to get up them hills. I mean, but people love that, you know, see how good you are. Lord of God, man, I mean, you know, and people cheating and dropping balls where they want to drop them and hitting all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's a place where evil runs rampant. Don't get mad at me now. I'm not against golfing or golfing. But it's just people just lying like dogs in there. And get an 11-year-old Japanese girl to make you look like a fool? Who wants to do that? And that little girl playing that game, is she wonderful? That's a blessing of the Lord to see that. So when you understand that we should seek more for inward vision, why do you, a lot of you, don't get mad at me when I say this, so many pastors running all over the world to all these different churches trying to find out what to do. Have you ever thought about praying about what to do? Do you know you've got ideas yourself, but you can't get them out till you pray them out? Nothing wrong with going to visit that church to see what they're doing. Don't misunderstand me. But my Lord, you know you got something original. People only remember the originals. Do you understand? If you want to be a success in the music world, you better write your own music and you better have your own style. If you want anybody to remember you. Think about that for a minute. I mean, anybody can copy you if you're pretty good at copying things. I mean, God has given each and every one of you that are in ministry such wonderful ideas. But you're running all over the world trying to find out what everybody else is doing when all you got to do is look within. And when you look within, you learn to do well. And you may do something no one ever thought possible to do. But that's what God called you to do. Then he said something like this, learn of me. Now, what does that mean? He says, learn about me personally. Learn of me. Understand my actions, my reactions. Learn how I think. Learn how I do things. That's why he said the faith is a walk. You walk by faith. You don't just believe by faith. You walk by faith and not by sight. Go with me to Matthew chapter 22 real quickly. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 11, verse 22. Very, very familiar scripture here. I believe Brother Keith spoke along these lines on a different verse, but listen to this. I just caught a piece of you because I just came in, turned the television on, and got to see you. Matthew chapter 11, let me read verse 28 first. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, have you heard that in church? I hadn't heard that much in church. I heard this, man, you're gonna struggle in life. Rest. You just better hang on for dear life. You may just make it. And you may not. But you just, you know, just keep going. Jesus said he'd give you rest. This is in red. Then he said this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Not learn of homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological thought. Now, I believe in education. And I believe in being intellectualized. Don't misunderstand. But not to the point to understand spiritual things. See, that's why I've had some of the biggest ministers in the world say, boy, Jesse, you can handle the media well. Well, I don't think so. But you see, I've learned. First thing I ask if somebody wants to interview me, I don't like it. If they catch me on the street, I say, are you born again? Do you know Jesus Christ is Lord? And if he's, well, you know, he back it up. Then I realize that I can't tell him nothing. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Because they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritual discernment. So Abner used to try to tell him how many babies I feed. Because what they really want to know is two things. If you, let me help minister if you get hit by the media. What they want to know is how much money you make. And what do you believe about homosexuality? That's the number two question. It's going to come up, man. It's going to come up every time. And I had guys say, well, how much money you make? I said, well, how much money you make? Well, this is my interview. I said, no, you wouldn't have one without me, so it must be mine. Then he tries to become religious. Well, you know, the Bible says, I said, stop, don't talk about the Bible. You don't know none of the Bible. You're going to look like an idiot in front of all your people there. I said, you're not born again. You don't know anything about spiritual things. We can only talk natural things. I wish I could give you a better interview, but you're ignorant. Boy, that makes them mad. I said, no, you're not dumb. You're just ignorant. You're ignorant of spiritual things. And the natural man receiveth not the things of God. You have no concept of what I want to say. You won't know how to apply it. You don't know. Is this interview over? I said, besides, when you get on my territory, why would you come on something that I know about, religious things? I said, man, you now you're in my ballpark with my baseball bat, with my ball, you're going to lose. We're going to do an investigation on you. I said, you what? We're going to do an investigation. I said, well, wonderful. I got better cameras than you. I got better cameras than this secular station. Do you know I can do an investigation on you? Do you know I'm on more television stations than you are? All you are is this general area. I'm going to have my boys down there with my cameras, and we're going to get pictures of your wife and your baby. We're going to make you famous, man. We're going to put you all over the world. We're going to find out how much money you make and how much sin you've committed. We're going to be on you like white on rice. You want to talk natural? You want to dance with me? See, they don't think that way. They think, wait a minute. Hey, you that have television, man, you can do the same thing they do. You never thought of that, did you? He said the interview is over. I ain't seen him since. But I got cameras. I got cameras like Brother Copeland. You got the best cameras that money can buy right there. I got them. Me too. Oh, yeah. We got shoulder cameras. We can find you. Freedom of the press. You're not the press. I press toward the mark. I'm part of the press. I press close to Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not being this in an arrogance. What I'm saying is this. Wait a minute. You cannot answer people that are not born again on spiritual concepts. The only thing you can talk to them about is if the Holy Spirit is drawing them to come to the knowledge of who Christ is. As far as prosperity, they ain't got the foggiest idea about any of that. I had to charter a jet this morning. I chartered a jet to get here, and I walked up to the front. It was so great. I don't think I've ever had this happen. And I just walked up to the front and to look at all the avionics. You know, it's a brand new little jet. Really nice. And I looked, and I said, he told me the true airspeed. I said, I'm interested in ground speed. You can understand true airspeed. I just want to know how fast I'm going to get there. Called ground speed. I said, now what are you? I said, you guys are religious? One guy, he said, I'm a Baptist. The other guy said, I'm a Pentecostal. I said, woo, man, this is a good plane today. He said, what are you? I said, both. I'm all things to all people. I can be a Baptist. Oh, I can preach Baptist, son. I can preach homiletics. Pentecostal. Oh, yeah, I can. We're praying the Holy Ghost. I came back, I said, the chief pilot is a Pentecostal and what you call the guy in the right seat, co-pilot. I said, he's a Baptist. Captain said, well, we in good hands. I said, yes, indeed. We can speak in tongues and never die. Eternal security. We got eternal security on the right and speaking in tongues on the left. Lord Jesus, we in good shape here. Now, whether you believe that or not, that's your business. You know, I'm like Keith. I'm, you know, come together in the unity of faith. It didn't say the unity of doctrine. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Learn of him personally. Write this down. We'll deal with this. You should know more about the spirit. We should know more of the spirit of Christ than the life of Christ. You see, most of us know what Jesus did as 12 years old. All this time. That's the life of Christ. That's great. Don't misunderstand me. But to know the spirit of Christ, we can never be perfected by abstract knowledge of the truth. You're going to have to know, not believe. This is another thing God's been dealing with me. I quit believing years ago, and I don't mean this in a wrong sense. I want to know in whom I have believed. See, I'm not trying to convince myself anymore. I'm believing. And the way you can find out your level is if something's not working in your ministry, things get, quote, tight. Let's see how you're believing or knowing. God told me this the other day. He said, man, you want to, I know that faith stuff. I said, then how come it ain't working? How come it's not working in your life? What do you mean you know something? No, you don't know something. You think you know something. It ain't working. What you know works. What you don't know is a shot in the dark. I said, you've been at the gospel casino all your life. You ain't never really been into the church. You've been shooting dice since the day you walked down an aisle and gave your life to Jesus Christ. It ain't your fault you was taught that. You never know what God gonna do. Sometimes he does and sometimes he don't. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. All these wonderful little religious statements that don't mean nothing in God's eyes. See, because they have learned about the life of Christ, but they haven't learned about the spirit of Christ. Let me show you something about the spirit of Christ. He couldn't go to funerals. He messed them up. Try to bury us around Jesus. Jesus said, get up. Never wanted to be dead anyway, so I just go home. Feed the people. We can't feed them with two-piece fish. Do you pay taxes? Let's go fishing. See, if you stay with Jesus, you're going to get some gold too. I lost a few of you right there. See, a lot of people say, it's amazing how people lie about their money. I saw a very high level politician the other day say, we dead broke. Lie, you fry. You're no dead broke. Just tell the truth. What's wrong with having money? We live in an economic world. Thank God Jesus had money at the manger. Why? Mary broke, Joseph broke, the donkey broke, Herod gonna kill every baby. Jesus got a pot of gold. He said, let's get out of here, mama. Let's get out of here, son. Let's go to Egypt. Who you think paid for the trip? Sure wasn't them. Learn of me. You live in an economic world. I told my daughter for years, I'd say, Jody, she would always ask me when she was growing up. Now she's a full-grown woman. She said, hey, Dad, you got a couple of bucks? Be in the mall. I said, yeah. I took out $2. That's what she asked for. She said, Dad, that's all you're going to do? I said, you said, do I have a couple of bucks? Is that the English language? Yeah, that's what you asked for, right? She said, no, Dad, let the Lord lead you. Oh, now we got spiritual here now. Now we got spiritual. See, when you get spiritual, you're going to get blessed. Just let the Lord lead you. Oh. And I'll never forget this. She gave me a wonderful. Oh, I want to thank Brother Coleman. He may be watching this. And Keith Moore, too. They sent me some birthday greeting. I'm going to be 65 years old in a few days. And my staff just shocked me. And they gave me a wonderful. But they just blessed me. And it showed all these things, and I'm just looking at that, and I thought, my God, look here. And it just was so nice. And Jody, it's just so fun. She said, Daddy, what you want? I said, I'll have what I want. You don't need nothing. No, I don't need nothing. I said, what I want is just to be with you guys. Oh, Dad, we got to get you something. You know what I said? I'll tell you what, Jody. Let the Lord lead you. Just let the Lord lead you. Because if you really ask me something, and then don't send me this, please. If you say something, boy, they just send it to you. I say, get me some socks. Oh, Dad, I don't want to get you no socks. That's why I ain't got no socks. God had to use somebody else to give me socks. Y'all gave me some socks when I went to New York. I mean, the wildest looking socks you ever saw. I'm talking, if the lights go out, your feet glow. Great, I love them socks. I just happened to, and I went and preached with her, and she said, you like wild socks? Yeah, I like socks. I don't know why I like socks so much. Anyway, she said, I got this, and I'm like, what, you gave me 8-10 pairs of socks, just beautiful socks. What a blessing of God that was. You see, ladies and gentlemen, got to watch what I say, because I get it. Why? Because of my faith? No, because I've learned how to do well, and I've learned of him. He did, the Bible said he had done all things well. Now, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children, so we must do all things well. That's not arrogance or cockiness. Don't misunderstand. It's just assurance and confidence that what Jesus said we could do, we can do. See, through actual obedience, we arrive at perfection of thought and life. Write that down. Through actual obedience, we arrive at perfection of thought and life. You see, when you understand that, that's why you have rough drafts of books until you get to perfection. Now, Mozart was phenomenal. Mozart did not do rough sketches and rough music. He wrote it. He had a 40-piece orchestra in his head. He didn't do copies. He could hear 40 pieces of music, 40 instruments at one time. But all the different, this is genius. This is God. See, only God can do that to a person. And they'd say, well, where's the rough? No, there was no corrections. He could hear it. See, he knew it. He knew it. Beethoven did his best when he couldn't hear. Because you see, it's in you. That's why I'm telling ministers, find out what's in you and pray it out. Then go do that. Amen. You understand? Do something different that the world has never seen. And they'll be attracted to you by the billions. Because it's in you. This creative ability of God is in each and every one of us that's born again. But you arrive, through actual obedience, you arrive at perfection of thought and life. Now, write this down. Learning to do well doesn't come naturally like evil does. You ever notice evil comes naturally? Why? Because it's natural. Make room for Christ in your soul. Make room for Christ in your mind, your will, and your emotion. Because evil comes naturally. Why? Why? Because, you see, you live in the five senses of your body. It's an automatic, see? But the body must be crucified daily, not Sunday. Isn't that amazing? So I arrive at that perfection of thought and life through actual obedience. I make room for Christ in my soul. Why? Because I don't want to do evil. Have I ever? Yes. I've done some wrong things. I've had to ask God to forgive me. Now, they got some people say you don't have to repent. Yo, mama. Listen to me. You better repent. Turn from. There's such a thing as forgiveness and repentance. Well, it's totally two different things, forgiveness and repentance. You can ask for forgiveness. A lot of people, they ask for forgiveness all the time, but they don't repent. Why? Because they go back and do the same thing. Repent means turn from, go the other way. You see what I'm saying? So when you understand that, you learn to do, you make room for Christ in your soul. Oh, how do I say this? I'm not talking about learning by tribulation, but learning by revelation. Watch this. Without difficulty, there's no display of energy. Write that down. Without difficulty, there's no display of energy. You don't really know how strong you are until the pressure comes. So without difficulty, there is no display of energy. If Satan would not bother people, most people go to hell by themselves through complacency. But he pushes people to a point, they push him to God, which is very ignorant of him to do. So without difficulty, there is no display of energy. Without temptation, there's no display of self-discipline. That's why Jesus was tempted in all mannerism as we were. Why? It showed his self-discipline. Not disciplining someone else, disciplining yourself. So without temptation, there is no display of self-discipline. Without trials and things, there's no display of fortitude and resignation. Why would Satan put you through a trial? He'll just leave you alone. You'd be surprised how lazy people actually are. So let me say it again. Without difficulty, there's no display of energy. Without temptation, there's no display of self-discipline. Without trials and certain parts of suffering, there is no display of fortitude and resignation. You see, when I went in the ministry, and a lot of you've heard me say that, when I went in the ministry, there were some people that would receive offerings from me, but they never gave it to me. See, I didn't come out the Word of Faith. I mean, Word of Faith people, every Word of Faith church I've ever been, they've been nice to me. I came out of churches, but they would receive offerings every night and then give me a Dr. Pepper after 5 days of preaching. I'm talking about running out of gas trying to get home. God had to send sinners to help me to get home. I'm talking hitchhiking home, leaving a car. I'm talking about not eating for 5 days. I didn't have any money in those days and just fasted. It was called forced fasting. But you know what? It showed me my fortitude. It showed me my resignation. It showed me, wait a minute, I don't care what the devil is or what he's doing. Greater is he was in me than he was in the world. I'm going to learn of Christ and I'm going to learn of me. And together we're going to get this job done. Amen. But see, the devil thought, well, if I don't give him any money, he'll quit. But he didn't understand money was destroying me. Because he was so stupid that when I was his, he gave me money like you ain't never seen, money like water. I could do anything. I've been a wealthy man. I was a rock musician. I made money in my life, a lot of money. But see, when you serve a thief, he steals it. So when I got born again, I was raised poor, and everybody said you had to be poor. I never heard of Kenneth Hagin or Kenneth Copeland. I didn't know anything about prosperity. I thought, well, bless God, I've been poor. I'm going to be poor too. Watch this. I did something scriptural. I did a Kenneth Hagin, a Kenneth Copeland thing. I went and gave my money away. I blessed people. I tried, me and Kathy, we'd bless people. Man, but I didn't know I was sowing seed. I had no concept of that. I always said, give and don't expect nothing in return. And then one day my mind woke up. I looked and went, I said, how come I'm believing everything else somebody says? Why don't I read this Bible? So I start reading the Bible. And I started out with these words, in the beginning, God. Whoa. And then I found out that 98% that I was taught in the religious world was wrong. God never said half of 90% of what they said he said. He didn't feel like that whatsoever at all. It was just the, I thought, it was like you opened up, like the universe just lit up, a supernova went off inside of me. I couldn't give my money away. God would bless me. I kept saying, no, Jesus. No, Jesus. And he said, yes, Jesse, yes. Then I realized he has to do what his word said. I came across one of Jerry Savelle's favorite scriptures, Psalms 89:34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. Lord, I said, if he says something, he's done it. What he said, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. I said, my God, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I said, he said all this. So it's got to come to pass. I found out what he said. And I did that by learning of him. And learning to do well. Then I thought, I don't want to make a mistake, so I'm going to just do what he does. Because it's already been tried and proven. It's already tried and proven. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, I still had my natural flesh. There were still people I didn't like. I didn't like them at all. But I learned to love them. And I couldn't do that till I learned of him. How do you love somebody you don't like? That is not easy. Jesus did not like the Pharisee or the Sadducee. He said, you're a snake, you're a hypocrite, you're a viper. Really, that's just truth. But he went to the cross and died for it. Ooh, that's hard to do that. So I learned the difference between love and like. But just because you don't like somebody don't mean that you have to be rude to them. You see what I'm saying? You have to love them. So I love a lot of people that I just don't like. Why? Because I don't like I don't like the personality. I don't like the way they do that. I don't like people that try to get close to you just to get money from you. That irritates me. Man, I'll give you, I'll be a blessing to you. But man, trying to suck on me, trying to get, you know, I don't like that. You see what I'm saying? And there's times I've wanted to use vengeance, but I couldn't get God to give it to me. He said, vengeance is his, vengeance is mine. I said, let it be mine. You take too long. I'll show you how to fix this. You won't see this guy much longer. We'll send him to hell. I used to get real angry at Muslims. I said, y'all want to die? We can do that for you. You celebrate death? We can do that. You want to see Allah? We can show you Allah. But see, judging a whole race by a few crazy people is wrong. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And buddy, I got Muslims calling my ministry. They love these Muslims. A lot of these Muslims love me. They said that, you know what they love about me? My fellowship and relationship with God. Oh, want to talk to God like you talk to God. Oh, want to talk to God like you talk to God. How come I can't talk to God like you talk to God? I said, you're talking to the wrong God. I didn't criticize. I don't try to make Jesus bigger by making Muhammad smaller. Jesus big enough by himself. What do you think about the Pope?
Quite a lot. Thank you for that Holy Ghost grunt. I pray for him. He's trying to get unity together with people.
He ain't asking you to be a Catholic. He's just asking you to, let's get some unity together here. What's wrong with that?
Now, I think he ought to, my personal opinion, Pope Francis, they got some crazy people in the world, not walking in fear, stay in the mobile. Because you're driving your security crazy. Be not ignorant of the devil's devices. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I don't like security. Excuse me, guys. I know there's a lot of security here. I like you. I don't care for security. I don't like all that. Like yesterday, we had a picnic at our church. Everywhere I walk, I couldn't go anywhere. My security was following me. I thought, I wonder if I go to the bathroom, will he get in the stall with me? Good Lord. You know. So finally, I said, Mitch, you can go on. Everything will be fine. He said, okay. He ain't listening to a word I said. Then I realize I'm not chief of staff. Kathy is. Running things. I'm the founder. That's about it. I'm still trying to find what I'm foundering. You know what I'm saying? So without difficulty, there is no display of energy. Without temptation, there is no display of self-discipline. Without trials and suffering, there is no display of fortitude and resignation. You see, when you deny yourself, self-denial is another word for learning to do well. I'm talking about learning to do well and learn of me. When you finish this Believers Convention Saturday night, you will, every speaker, every song, everything that goes on is teaching you how to learn of him and to learn to do well. It is designed. We don't get together and find out what everybody preaching and all those kind of stuff. A lot of times we got so many different schedules, we're running nine into nothing, going this way and that way. And so you understand that, see. You can do well. You'll get, well, be sure of that. The Holy Ghost just said it. He said, tell them if they'll believe me, they'll get to a point financially that they'll get a check and say, what should we do with this? What am I going to use this for? How do you know that, Brother Jesse? Because it happened to me. Kathy has instructed our finance department, don't put no checks in my box. We all have boxes, you know, a little thing, but you know. Now I'm going to say something, you ain't going to believe this. I know, I don't know how much money I make. But I know I do well. I don't. God is my witness. If you ask me, and they call me a liar. On the, I don't. Metal lock, I don't. So one time they put a check in my box. I pulled it out and I went, hey, this is a check. What is this? I'm looking at it. And Kathy said, give me that. You don't know what that is. And she told the finance director, don't put that. He had no concept. Put it in mine. I said, okay. And that's not, because she handles it. I have no concept. Now she tells me, you got some money I don't know you got. I said, a man got to do what he got to do. Do I have a stash? Yeah, I got a stash. I ain't telling her where the stash is. Let her have a stash. You know, you got to do what you got to do sometimes. You understand? And a lot of times I give, I don't even tell her. She gives and she don't even tell me. Sometimes we don't even know until her phone goes off. Because the banks tell her money's coming out there. And I mean, it's amazing, the technology. And they're always trying to get a hold of me. I don't carry a cell phone. I don't text. I don't email. My hard drive crashed. Some of y'all caught that. Glory to God. Without a scandal. I don't do that because I know I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. Because I know I won't be able to answer all these emails. I don't mean that in a rude sense. So Kathy said, when are you going to join the 21st century? I said, Kathy, I give people jobs. It's so glad that they are so glad that I don't have to do that because I have to hire people to do that for me. Not bragging on that. And I said, but now can I learn it? Yeah. Now she didn't think I knew any of that. One day I did it in front of her. I just picked up her phone. I went, she goes, how did you know that?
I said, learn of me. See, you thought I was off the sermon there. I'm still in the park. Learn of me. You'd be surprised. And very few things get by me. This surprise birthday thing got by me. That truly got by me. I wasn't expecting that. Can I tell you what I did? We had a major, beautiful July 4th, picnic for our church. And it was nice weather at our church. It's hot. It's Africa hot in South Louisiana. You understand? See, y'all hot in Texas, but we got humidity, see? So you just wake up, boom, you just bust the sweat. Make your skin look good. That's a lie. So I wore shorts and a shirt because it's hot. And the pastor called me to the front of the church. I got on red shorts. And because I'm going to get to meet the people at the church. I'm going to... I don't want to go out there. And they sang happy birthday. And my birthday's at the end of this convention to be in a few days after this convention. But they had to catch me. They had to do it early, I guess, a few days early. I felt so stupid because I know what people are going. God, look at them bony legs he got. And I used to have hairy legs. I had hairy legs. I ain't got no more hair. I don't know what happened to my hair. I asked that dude. Dermatologist, I said, how come I don't have hair on my legs no more? She said, you wear jeans? I said, yeah, I love jeans. She said, electrolysis. I said, what? Jeans. She said, causes static electricity on your legs. It kills your hair follicles. Oh. Never thought of that, huh? I know some of y'all think I've been shaving my legs. I ain't shaving my legs. I don't shave my legs. Now, there's some men shave their legs and they shave their chest. That ain't my cup of tea. But I said, Kathy, I don't have no hair on my legs. She said, you shave your legs? Kathy, you know I don't shave my legs. In fact, I don't even like it. I hear Kathy shave her legs. It make me nervous. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And women fast with that razor blade. Whoosh, whoosh. And I'm thinking, Jesus, leave the skin on there, woman. Good God. Oh, Jesus. How many of you ladies shave like that fast? You just hear all that stuff. Lord, Jesus. She got mad at me last night. She said, you woke me up, you flushed the toilet. I said, would you like me not to flush it? I went to the bathroom. You flushed the toilet. I have my own bathroom. She has her own bathroom. I never complain when she goes, I can hear her, but boy, if I flush that thought, you woke me up, you flush that thought. But Jesse, how come y'all been married 44 years without getting a divorce? I've learned to do well. Did you enjoy it today? Give Jesus a hand clap for that.